Good morning once again, everyone. Looking forward to spending our time in God's Word this morning, and as always, looking to God to make His Word both true and real to us, and to have a profound impact on our daily lives. I always find if we can't read God's Word and then afterwards always say, how does this, what I've read today, change the way that I'm going to live today? And perhaps we're reading the Word, and we might be reading the words, the stories, but might not be taking to heart the lessons that those things have for us. And so this morning, I hope we can trust that God will be about His purpose. We're going to review a few things from last week that we were talking about, and then dive right in this week to Exodus chapter 3 and move right into chapter 4 today. So let's pray and give thanks, and then we'll begin. Lord, thank You that again we come to a place that is called a church, not a building with walls and a roof, but the people who gather. Thank You that Your church is a living body, and today we serve a living God. And I just pray that as we open Your Word again this morning, that as always, You would be about Your purpose, mending, molding, changing, moving our hearts, our lives, that You would affect our circumstances, our thoughts, our motives. And I thank You that today that we can be confident that You are here, and that today You have called us on a journey. And once again, that You are speaking. And I just pray that this morning that You would be honored and glorified by the response of our hearts, our soul, our mind, that to the inner depth that we would hear Your voice, and that we would not let those things go to waste, but we would allow Your Word to go deep within us and move us today. So thank You for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, for those who were here, we were looking at the fact that God always calls us based on who He is, not on who we are. God calls you on the journey you are on, not based on what you can do for Him, but what God is prepared to do for you. And for those who are with us, we were looking at Moses in Exodus chapter 3, in which Moses asked, who shall I tell them when I go, when I do what You've told me to? Who shall I say sent me? And we read these words in Exodus 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And furthermore, He said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. And as we looked last week, we looked at some of those names of God, that not only does God long to be our Lord, our Savior, but God also longs to be Elohim, Almighty, great and powerful in your life. He longs to be El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. God was always calling based on who He was and what He was prepared to do. And now, as we read on this morning, after looking at who God is last week, that He is the great provider, the all-sufficient, the all-powerful, the omnipotent one, omnipotent, that he is stronger, mightier, wiser than all things, that this God, as He calls you on today, there is a response. And today we're going to read in Exodus 3 and verse 16, Moses' response to God's call, a call that was based on God's ability, on who God was. It says this, Exodus 3 and verse 16, go and gather the elders of Israel together and say to them, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me, saying, I am indeed concerned about you and what has been done to you in Egypt. So I said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt to the land of the Canaanite and the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, to a land flowing with milk and honey. They will pay heed to what you say, and you, with the elders of Israel, will come to the king of Egypt, and you will say to him, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us. So now please let us go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But I know that the king of Egypt will not permit you to go, except under compulsion. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my miracles, which I shall do in the midst of it. And after that, he will let you go. Now, as God begins to give instructions, notice that God already knows that there are going to be obstacles. He is calling Moses to something to which there are going to be obstacles, but it is also important to note that God has already taken care of those obstacles. God already knew what they were, and God already knew what he was going to do. God is never caught by surprise. And when God calls us on, calls us forward, calls us into this journey with him, he has gone before us, he is with us, and that was intrinsic in that name. Tell them, I am has sent you, the existing one. I am, I always have been, I always will be, and I am, I will be with you. Jehovah, Yahweh. God was calling them, and he knew that there would be obstacles, but he also knew that he already was prepared to deal with those obstacles. He knew what he was going to do. This morning, if there's a take home, and I can only share with you what God has been sharing with me, and this week he's been reminding of this question that has been bold in my mind. What's holding you back? What are you waiting for? Moses heard what God wanted him to do. Moses heard what God was prepared to do. And yet Moses had a question. Exodus 4 in verse 1. Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" Now remember, if you can follow back to where we've been, we spent time looking at the fact that Moses, remember 40 years previous when he tried to free the people of Israel? We had read in Acts that as it was recalled, that Moses was a man of great power in word and deed, and that in his heart and in his mind, he felt that God had put him in a position to free the sons of Israel. And yet when he killed an Egyptian, remember the people's response? "Oh, are you going to be a judge to me also?" They didn't think, they didn't know what Moses knew in his heart. And now, based on his previous failure, he's questioning based on what's happened that that might happen again. What if they don't believe me? They didn't believe me the last time I tried. It didn't work the last time I was there. What makes you think it'll work this time? Again, following back, we've already looked together that often God needs to bring us to a place. Well, what are we waiting for this morning? What's God waiting for? Sometimes for us to come to the end of ourselves, and there we find the beginning of where God can start. 40 years. He was educated in all the royalty of Egypt, 40 years to forget it all and become a nobody shepherd. 40 years to build up a political platform, 40 years to lose it. "Now I'm ready, Moses. Let's go." And often I find that I have tried, I have failed, and sometimes what's holding me back? I don't want to even try again because I know what happened last time. What's different? Last time it was all me. This time God's saying, "You're going to walk not in your ways, not in your strength, not in your ability, but mine. I'm going with you. I'm going to direct you. I'm going to lead you." What's holding you back? This morning, there may be things that God is putting in your heart, but because they failed last time, in your strength, in your effort, you're failing to move forward this time. Hope remains. God says this, What is that in your hand? Exodus 4, verse 2. He said, a staff. He said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out his hand, caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. You see, God began to give him signs that if they didn't believe his words, they would believe the works. I don't want you to just tell them that I'm with you. I want you to show them. And God was about to show them that when he threw down a staff, something dead, when it's in obedience to God, it can become alive. Not only can the dead become alive, but listen, something untamable, a serpent to which he fled, and rightfully so, he feared. In obedience to God, the untamable, tameable. The uncontrollable, controlled. That which is dead, brought to life. But in obedience to God, that which also seems strong, in control, and alive, listen, in obedience to God, now dead as a stick. You see, God was going to show him that whatever the circumstance, whatever the threat, whatever the thing he might face, God was in control. Exodus 4, verse 6, the Lord furthermore said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. He put his hand into his bosom. That's his cloak. Instead, you're thinking of his backside. He put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. This is the part where I would have stopped. It's like God's playing dirty tricks on you. Throw down your stick, it's a snake, and you run away. Now put your hand in your coat, and it's leprous. I'm done. No more, God. Good enough. He said, put your hand into your bosom again. So he put his hand into his bosom again, and when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. He said, if they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, they may believe the witness of the last sign. You see, again, God was going to go, and as Moses moved in obedience, that which seemed strong would become weak. Oh, and on the contrary, that which seemed weak, hopeless, would become what? Alive and well. Restored. The incurable would be cured. And that which would seem strong, brought low. God went on and said in verse 9, but if they do not believe those two signs or heed what you say, then you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground. You see, that all that Egypt worshipped, that was their life, their sustenance. God was prepared to make death to them. The strong would be made weak. The hopeless would be given hope. That they could be mended. Moses responded this way, Exodus 4, verse 10. Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. He said, please, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. He said, is there not your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You are to speak to him, put words in his mouth, and I, even I, will be with your mouth and his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do. Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people, and he will be as a mouth for you, and you will be as God to him. You see, Moses was still going to be God's mouthpiece. He was still going to be God's man. But there was something there that Moses missed. God was calling him on a journey, to a task, to a place, to an event. And yet today, sometimes what's holding me back? First, past failures can often defeat future victories. Why? Because I still think it's all about me. It's up to me. I've got to do it for him. I've got to make it happen. I've got to make the move. And already I'm defeated. Why? Because I'm failing to see the reality that God is saying this. I've got you. I'm taking you. I'm sending you. I'm with you. Don't fight today's battle. Don't move on today's journey by yesterday's battle plan. Happened to Israel so many times. When you rely on what happened in the last victory, you lost. Because it wasn't the last strategy. It was their God whom they were to trust. That's why we've said so often, this battle, God said, what? Moses, put your arms up. And every time they're up, they'd win. And every time they're down, they're lose. Winning, losing. Winning, losing. Finally, what happened? Prop his arms up. Finally, they finished off the enemy. The next time, Gideon, send everybody home except for the 300. The next time, let the choir lead you into battle. The next time, march around the walls and toot your horns. It was never the last strategy that won, but the God who was with them. They were to know that he was their strength, he was their guide, and he was their victory. The second thing this morning that often holds us back is this: though God is enough, I'm not allowing the greatness of who God is to be bolder and greater than how big I see my circumstances. I don't allow God to be bigger than my failures. I don't allow God to be bigger than my weakness. And whatever subtle point or bit of disbelief settles in, and God says go, and I say no. Imagine those words. Moses, I know you're not eloquent. I know you're slow to speak, but I, even I, will be in your mouth. That's God speaking. And Moses said, please, Lord, send the message by whomever you will. What's he saying? Send someone else. You know what Moses missed? Moses didn't miss out on seeing the people freed. Moses didn't miss the fullness of God's will in seeing those people come. It didn't mean that he was out of relationship with that God. Here's what he missed: seeing the fullness of what God could do in his life. He settled for second best. Here's a man who had become a lowly shepherd, and God was going to make him a great leader, make him a great speaker. But whatever weakness, whatever hurt, whatever had happened in Moses' life, it was too big for him to give that over to God in that moment. Send someone else. And I wonder today, how many points and places in my life I settle for second best. I settle. And God's saying, here's what I can do. Here's what me, the Almighty, is prepared to do in you, through you, for you. And I say, I love it, God. Send someone else. Whatever relationship seems so broken, unmendable, and I say, it's too broken. God says, I can mend it. You say, no, you can't. I'm going to settle. I'm going to settle for disharmony, disunity, because it's too much for me, not too much for him. What sin is there that so easily entangles that God says, I can give you victory today, freedom? And I say, no, you can't. He says, oh, yes, I can. And I settle. And I say, no, we can't. Send someone else. What person is your life that you hope knows the Lord and his goodness? And God says, go share with them. And you say, no, I can't. And God says, oh, yes, you can. You can start to see I've got a conversation going in with me. I had the most amazing teacher who's now with the Lord, and he's in Austria. He's not in Austria, though that might be heaven. I've seen it. He was a wonderful teacher from Austria, wonderful man. And when he would come through as a young student, he had such a vivid way of describing the conversation with God that would go on within. His name was Hans Peter. He was an incredible evangelist in the German language and a wonderful international teacher in English. And before the Lord took him, we spent time with him, got to know him, and sometimes he would come forward and say, you know, I was in the pub the other night, and I said, God, can Hans Peter have a beer? And God would say, yes, Hans Peter, of course you can have a beer. And I would say, after that beer, God, can Hans Peter have another beer? And God would say, yes, Hans Peter, I love you, my son. You may have another beer. And after that beer, I'd say, God, can Hans Peter have another beer? And God would say, no, Hans Peter, then you will be drunk. You may not have another beer. And he would vividly describe this conversation going on that he knew, right? And then the times that he would have the other beer, and he knew he shouldn't, right? And the times that he would say, yes, Lord, you're right. I should not have the other beer. In that still, small moment, when God is speaking, and he says, you need to go and speak. And I say, no. It may not mean that I've left God entirely. It may not mean that I've missed entirely on God's will and where he's taking me, but I'll tell you what it does mean. You might miss the fullness of what you could have seen God do if you would have said yes. Victory in areas you didn't know victory was possible. Speaking at places you didn't think people would listen. Going places you didn't think you could go. And today, God is calling each and every one of us. And what's holding you back? Why haven't we gone? Here's what 2 Peter chapter 1 says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Notice what we looked last Sunday. He's called us, what? By his own glory and excellence. That's how he called you. Peter puts it this way in 2 Peter 1 verse 4. For by these he's granted to us. By what? By his glory and excellence. He's granted to us, what? His precious, magnificent promises. So that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. God's called us, giving us everything pertaining to life and godliness. This happened in the Old Testament. You may remember a judge that God used named Deborah, or Deborah, as some say. And listen, she was a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. She was judging Israel. Listen to what it says in Judges 4, verse 5. She used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country Ephraim. The sons of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Behold, the Lord, the God of Israel, is commanded, go and march to Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men from the sons of Naphtali and from the sons of Zebulun. I will draw out to you Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his many troops, to the river Kishon, and I will give him into your hand." Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." She said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the honor shall not be yours on the journey that you are about to take, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. What was she telling him? Hey, I want you to go. God's with you. God's got you. The victory's yours. There's going to be glory. There's going to be greatness on the battlefield today. What was his response? "No. Only if you go." See, it didn't shorten God's hand. God was still faithful to save his people. But I'll tell you what, Barak missed out that day, seeing the fullness of the victory that God could have by his hand, not just the judge Deborah's hand. Perhaps today, God may put his finger on your heart as he does mine, day in and day out, and shine a light on the areas in which, as you've heard God, that still small voice, that inner conversation, "Hans Peter, can I have a beer?" Right? What's God saying? Today, God is calling. And whatever the fears, and perhaps in Moses' life, we often fear the unknown more than the known, don't we? What if they don't listen to me? What if they reject me? What if they don't follow? God had all the what ifs in hand, didn't he? He did. From the beginning, he had already known and provided an answer. That is, if they reject you, I'll be enough. What I'm asking you to do is speak. I think we don't talk often enough about the fact that when we are obedient to God, spending time in Quebec in the mission field as we did, I was reminded by a friend how many times there would be large churches that would come into Quebec, which was a very spiritually dark and difficult place. And a church would come in to support a small church plant, and they'd say these words: "Okay, we want to support you. Can you please show us how many baptisms you had this year? How much offering? How was your attendance? Did it go up or did it go down? And if all the numbers check, you have our support." What did they want to see? The missions committee wanted to see fruit. And it was a challenge. Because do you know, when God looks at our lives, what do you think he says when he meets the prophet Jeremiah? How many converts did Jeremiah have? Zero. God's going to look at him and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why? The fruit of his message was God's purpose. That was up to God. His purpose as a messenger was what? To be faithful to give the message. Were you obedient? When I said go, did you go? When I said speak, did you speak? When I said walk, did you walk? Well done, good and faithful servant. Today, God is asking each and every one of us to go on that journey. And for some of us, it's to be bold and speak up. For others, it's not the words, but the works of God that will be displayed in our lives. Just in Moses, if they don't believe your words, watch what I'm going to do. And God doesn't need a magic wand or a magic glittery stick. What does he say? What's that in your hand? He'll take the ordinary and the mundane, the walking stick, and make it into the miraculous. All we need do is say yes. He can take the uneloquent and make them speak. God can take the foolish and make them wise. All we need do is say yes. My challenge this week is you go out these doors into your everyday work, school, whatever it might be. As God brings these things, don't settle for second best. Don't settle for less than the fullness of what God has for you. Because as you see that relationship, it might be amendable for you, not for God. As you look at someone, you might see as too far, never too far for God. And God is going to give you the strength. If he says stay, it's to stay. If he says leave, it's to leave. If it's to go, whether you find obstacle or not, he'll be enough when you get there. If it's to forgive, he's enough for you to let it go. Or to walk away from whatever it might be, including our fears of what might be. He's enough. Today, are you settling for second best or holding tight securely to the one who is our God? Our journeys are all very different, and yet one God is with us and enough for it all, whatever it might be. And today he's calling you. And today, he could use someone else if you won't go, but he's longing that you would, because he longs to take weak people and make them strong. Take those who can't and make it so that they can. And take those who perhaps it seems like hope is lost and bring an incredible glory that they might find that hope that is true and right and real today. So, as you go out these doors, look for a living God. And when he says, he calls, he speaks, follow. He'll be enough. And he's far bigger than the unknown. Far bigger than what you fear. Don't rely on last time's battle plans when it was all up to you. Because today, if he's with you, it's up to him. He's got you. He'll take you, and he'll keep you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that again we can know that you are a patient, loving, forgiving God. And we can look at so many examples of people who've heard your voice and run. Jonah heard, knew what you wanted him to do, ran. And yet, you're a gracious God who brings us back, who despite us, uses us. Your will cannot be thwarted. And I thank you that as we go out these doors, we know that you will be speaking to our hearts in that conversation continually, if only we'd listen. And I pray that you would give each and every one of us the faith to say yes, to know that you're enough, to follow you into battle, to know that you've gone before us. The victory is yours. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And for that, we can only say thank you. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.